This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. We got an hour to go before the holidays, and I just want to remind everybody, we still got a hot seat coming up, and Al J. Black's coming on a Thursday because, looks like the NFL's about to cash in again.
It's unbelievable.
The Sunday Shocking. Ticket is going to YouTube. And they did it. They had a chance to think of the fans. The NFL owners did. And did you hear Rhea's reaction?
Yeah.
That was their reaction.
Yes.
They could have, Al, taken a little less money and served the interests of the fans.
Oh, that's hysterical.
They elected not to.
Shocking.
We're all pretty surprised by that. Anyway, on the line with us right now, we are thrilled to have him on a Thursday with his great football expertise from the GM Shuffle podcast, the Gridiron Genius himself, sponsored by Panther East. Don't get nailed by OSHA. Panther East is the premium distributor of safety in the Philadelphia region. Go to PantherEast.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Lombardi. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're well. Happy
Mike,
holidays.
Same to you, Mike. We've got a lot of ground to cover here in the next few minutes, so I'm just going to start with this. What did you think of the Eagles' game plan in Chicago?
You know, it's funny. It was one of those where I thought they would come out really kind of trying to get the lead and make sure that Fields had to throw the ball and couldn't play the game with his feet because he's truly more of a running back than a passer. So when they didn't execute and they kept the game close, you know, they didn't play their best game, but they still found a way to win the game, overcoming the turnovers that they made. So, you know, my sense of it is you're going to have those games along the way. They were clearly the better team. They were always in control of the game. But, you know, they kind of let them hang around a little too long, but dominated in the fourth when they needed to.
Here's the problem. You have a running back who is among the top 10 in the league. He has just surpassed 1,000 yards. You're facing the 27th ranked run defense with a 30-mile-an-hour wind. Is there any logic associated with not handing the ball to Miles Sanders for 24 minutes?
Well, I mean, look, and you know, adding the fact that field was so hard when you land on it, I mean, that's why Hurts got hurt. You can see it in the play. You know, he landed his shoulder on it. It wasn't a hit from a defender. It was the field that caused it. So, you know, but you have to remember, Angelo, I mean, the Bears play an eight-man front. They kind of, the way they play it, it's kind of hard to get the inside game going, so they tried to get the outside game going. I mean, the first two plays they called were the read option. They ran the ball with Hurts to try to get him on the outside and make them defend it outside in so they could get their inside running game going. And I think the secondary is the vulnerable spot within the team. The wind is a factor, and certainly that was the conditions, I think, were a lot worse than you think. It's easier to throw the ball in those conditions typically than it is to run because you're having a hard time getting footing.
Let me reiterate. 24 minutes, zero carries. Does that make sense?
No, that, you know, obviously that doesn't make sense. I mean, you can't defend that. And certainly you got away from it. And I'm sure they probably realize that's not the way they need to go. And you know, if somebody needs to remind you during the game, hey, let's make sure we get Sanders going involved in this game and run the ball more inside.
Isn't that, why they have people up in the booth? I mean, is there not no one on these staffs of 50 that can say, yo, you're not giving the ball to your running back?
Yeah, the staff of 50s are amazing. I don't even understand it. It's unbelievable. I mean, they have more people that are in booths than they invaded Normandy with. I mean, it's hilarious how many they have there. The reality here is that you usually between a break, you know, when you come through and Shane goes over to the sideline and Nick Sirianni, they talk and they look, we've got to, you know, here's how we want to start the next drive. Here's what I think we need to get going with. Here's where we need. Every drive should be planned in terms of, and that conversation should come up between the drive. That's what they're talking about. They're looking at the Polaroids. They're kind of looking at how they're defending them, and then they're trying to put together the five or six best plays for the next drive when they get into that situation. So that's where it should really occur.
Yeah, we're right on the same page on that one. Mike, now you got a quarterback who's got a chance to be the MVP. You could argue he already is. And he's probably going to want to play with a sprained shoulder. How does the organization deal with his will to play versus what's best for the team?
Well, I think the doctors have a lot to say with that, right? I think that they've got to clear him medically before you can put him out on the field. It's one thing, players always want to play, but it's another thing to go out there and feel like he can play. I think for the Eagles, erring on the side of caution is the best thing. I mean, I wrote about this for Veasan. I mean, credit to their organization. I mean, they have a really good backup. It's kind of an interesting season this year, right?
Yeah.
So this week we're going to go into this week we're going to have the following guys play quarterback: Trace McSorley, Malik Willis, Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, Brock Purdy, Tyler Huntley. I mean, going into this weekend, 56 different players played quarterback during the season. Now Wow. We're going to almost get over 60. So that means almost every team's had to use their backup quarterback, which is remarkable, which tells you that we're not protecting the quarterbacks very well. I think you got to err on the side of caution with Hurts. Give him some time. I'm not even sure you should play him against the Saints. I think Minshew's a really good player. They'll change what they do offensively. They won't be a six-back attack. They'll be more of a rhythm passing game, RPOs. He can do it. I mean, this kid's played well for Jacksonville. And, you know, I think he's got 41 touchdown passes and 22 starts. I mean, he can make plays, and he gives them a chance to win, and the team buys into him. The team believes in him. This is not a knock on Hurts at all. They'll be a different offense. They'll be kind of with their offensive line. The strength of their offensive line allows them to have versatility within their offense.
I got to know now, Mike, because you're making it sound like the Eagles would have a real good shot with Minshew in Dallas on Christmas Eve. Who are you picking to win the game?
You know, when you break down this Cowboy defense, that you got to protect first, right? You got to make sure you take care of Parsons, and you've got to handle their edge rushers. But you can attack this secondary. And I think the Eagles will move the ball effectively. And you've got to be able to slow down Pollard in the run game and Zeke in the run game and force them to have a little bit of pressure. Their offensive line's good, too. I think it's a close game. I was shocked that the line moved on Monday because of the news of Hurts all the way up to 6. Now it's back down to 5. I think it'll be a really close game. I think the Cowboys will win the game, but I think it'll be less than a field goal. I think the Eagles have every opportunity to win the game. I have a lot of faith in Minshew as a quarterback.
Wow.
I have faith in the Eagles' offense. Because they can still run the ball. Even though it won't be out of the six-back attack, they'll run the ball. They'll pretend that Minshew's going to run it, which will cause Dallas to have to defend it. And they're going to have to put pressure on Prescott so that he creates mistakes. But, you know, that's where they're going to have to play their best game defensively.
Well, last thing, Mike. You work for the Patriots. You work for Bill Belichick, the best coach ever. How in God's name did he lose a game last Sunday on a lateral play that was on a game going to overtime? How did that happen, and how do you think he's handling that situation?
I think, you know, this has been a hard season. He has not been able, and I talked about this on my podcast, you know, he's not been able to get the offense fixed, and it's been a real problem. I mean, the decision to go with Patricia and Judge in their roles hasn't proven to be as beneficial as I think he thought it could become, and Mac Jones has regressed. In terms of the game management, I mean, that just kills him. It happened in 18, they put Gronk back there, and Kenyon Drake, they started doing the lateral thing in Miami, and Kenyon Drake kind of broke open, and Gronk was the last line of defense, and it wasn't a defense at all. So this was a problem. I mean, Jacoby Myers went rogue on it. Clearly, what they should have done, they should have kneeled it down. I mean, that's really the ultimate mistake. They should have, if they were not going to throw it in the end zone, just kneel it down. you know, because the yards are meaningless. And I'm sure it's just killing him. I'm sure this is, you know, because he preaches game management. They go over it every single week. And I'm sure this has been a horrible week for him.
I got to be honest, Mike, this way, the way I look at it. Since Lombardi left, he's not the same coach. That's all I'm saying. Lombardi well, may have been the brains of that operation. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true, but I will say this, that, you know, there's so much that goes into these situations that, you know, it's hard. And ultimately, you as the head coach assume the responsibility regardless of what happens on the field.
Mike Lombardi, I hope you and your family have a great holiday, Mike, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Angela. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Mike Lombardi.